Michaels. Now is a new show that's starting this month on HBO called The White House Plumbers. Please welcome David Mandel to As Goes Hi. Wisconsin. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing a big national media tour, but locally just Wisconsin.
So exactly. Yeah. Thank you for making time for us.
Well, thank you for having a Supreme Court election that basically is holding the fate of democracy in its hands.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to Monday morning, almost afternoon, March 27th, last week of March, and 1 week and one day until the April 4th election. And my question to you is, what could move the needle in the last week ahead of the election? 844-967-2789. Because I ask, because things are getting kind of ugly.
Yeah.
Little ugly.
Yeah, a little bit. Little nasty.
And we're going to talk about it throughout this first hour. There's some texts being sent by groups who are supportive of Dan Kelly that are just a twinge homophobic.
Oh, just a scooch.
We didn't talk about the news last week of accusations of Janet Protasiewicz being racist and beating her ex-husband. And then now the potential that she may sue over those allegations. There are threats being had in the Green Bay mayoral race, and lo and behold, we actually, between 2020 and 2022, are fourth in the country as far as threats against candidates and election workers.
Yay, us.
Go Wisconsin nice.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
Living up to our name. So I think, you know, a lot of people, I don't know if I've seen, have you seen any numbers as far as the early vote tally so far? I think at some point last week, I think I saw 100,000 people had already voted.
I had seen something over the weekend that there were like 300,000 early voting ballots sent out.
Okay.
And only about 100
sent out.
Were sent out, and only about 120,000 had been returned.
But that, and so that doesn't include necessarily people who are voting early in person.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And so we are a week away, early voting. You can still vote all this week. Actually, Dan Schaefer, friend of the show, had a great little video. I feel like he's coming for my job with the short videos. But he had a great reminder that we don't know. We don't know what the weather is going to be like on Tuesday. So why wait? If you can vote early in your part of the state, why don't you just go ahead and vote early? Because like Saturday,
you may just
wake up to 6 inches of snow and it may dissuade you from actually voting on Tuesday.
Seriously. I haven't checked the forecast that far out, but I was not expecting that on Saturday.
We knew that it was snow. We knew snow was coming, but to wake up to that much snow was like, oh, what date is it? Oh, it's March 25th? Okay, great. Great. All right, Tina Congdon on the live stream just said 179,000 votes have been returned.
Okay.
And so the point is, go vote if you can early just to get it done, get it out of the way. Otherwise, certainly vote on April 4th. But the bigger question being, what could change your mind or what could change the election with 1 week left, despite everything that is getting ugly and tactics that are being deployed with the last week? Is there anything really that you think could happen that could change your mind?
844-967-2789. Tom from West Dallas joining us. Hi, Tom. What do you want to say?
Hi there. I was just wanted to point out on my Facebook feed, I get a lot of Janet for Supreme Court and all that. And the good thing is that there are a lot more likes than there are dislikes, or angry faces, or what have you. And I've read the comments on a lot of these, and a lot of the against her are people who are going after her her conviction record, how she's soft on crime, and other things that at the moment are not popping in my head, but I read all that, and I would like to see Janet pushing more on other things other than the abortion issue. Mm. We all know that. But I would like to see, you know, her record. And then I never hear anything of them talking about Kelly's thing with the Republican Party and being on their payroll and all that kind of stuff. I don't see nothing. I would love to see Janet's people push that topic, that he is trying to destroy democracy. He's worked with people who are trying to destroy democracy and your vote and all that. I don't see that from her side.
Well,
and
Tom,
that's a mess.
Tom, did you see the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning?
I did not.
So Justice Rogan Sacks' daughter, who is a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, her name is Ellen Brostrom, she wrote an op-ed basically talking exactly about what you just said,
yes,
of why he is not fit to sit on the Supreme Court because of his involvement in the 2020 scheme to try to steal the election. And so thanks so much for the call. So you teed me up perfectly, Tom. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Tom.
This is why I asked the question, because to me, who follows this closely,
right,
I think to most of the people that I, you know, the people I saw circulating this morning also follow the election closely. And I think being the connection to the justice who is stepping down, who endorsed, Rogan Sacks endorsed Jennifer Doro in the primary and has yet to endorse anyone in the general.
Interesting.
And she wrote she penned an op-ed that came out this morning. And so let's just read some of it.
Let's hear it.
So just as a reminder, this is written by Ellen Brostrom, who is Milwaukee County Circuit Judge and has been for the last 14 years. She is the daughter of Justice Pat Rogan Sacks,
who
is the one who's retiring and creating the vacancy on the court. And basically, she's arguing that Dan Kelly's role in the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election makes him unfit for a seat on the court. And so it starts as this. I have had the privilege of serving as a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge for nearly 14 years. I'm also half of the only mother-daughter judicial duo in Wisconsin history. My mother, Justice Pat Rogan Sacks, has been on the Wisconsin Supreme Court since 2003 and served as Chief Justice from 2015 to 2021. I am writing to share my opinion that former Justice Dan Kelly is unfit to occupy her seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So, she goes on. Like my mother, I am a judge who follows the law and upholds our constitutional rights. I have served alongside Judge Janet Protasiewicz as a colleague in Milwaukee for almost a decade, and I know her abilities as a jurist and as a community leader. She is a better choice for voters this April 4th. As judges, we take an oath to support the constitutions of the United States and the state of Wisconsin. Instead of supporting our constitutional rights, however, Kelly has worked to undermine the Constitution and our democracy. He has never served as a frontline judge. That's a point that I feel like we don't talk about enough.
I agree.
And instead, most recently served as a legal advisor to the Republican Party of Wisconsin as it implemented the fake elector scheme, part of a multifaceted conspiracy to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Shall I go on?
I'll continue.
Okay. In the United States, we proudly elect our leaders. Our leaders do not install themselves. Our entire democracy, indeed, the very idea of America, is built on this bedrock constitutional right. Whatever our flaws and shortcomings, America, and Wisconsin specifically, has been a city on the hill for the peaceful transition of power. Instead of peaceful transition, however, since the last presidential election, the country has been subject to massive fraud designed to convince fellow citizens that the election was stolen. It seems the losing side, led by President Trump, Fox News, and his allies, believes the results should be overturned by any means necessary. To that end, they have intentionally lied to the American people and conspired to keep Trump illegally in power. Kelly assisted in this scheme, and that makes him unfit to serve on our state's highest court.
Wow.
And should I just finish the whole thing?
Yeah.
We've got two minutes. We'll just finish the whole thing. Our nation's history is the story of the franchise being extended from white male landowners to all white men to black men to women and so on. People have died in the struggle to secure the right to vote. At every stage, there has been a violent resistance to extending our democracy to all. People have been willing to murder and terrorize others to suppress their right to vote. And indeed, President Trump's conspiracy to overturn the 2020 presidential election culminated in violence as the hallowed halls of the United States Capitol were invaded by insurrectionists. Law enforcement officers died. Dozens were wounded. The peaceful transition of power that has held fast since the Civil War was sullied but not broken. This conspiracy continues to be an existential threat to our nation. The question is, are we going to remain a democracy or are we going to become an authoritarian state? In my view, the risk is that grave. I believe we all have a patriotic and moral obligation to vote against candidates who have helped this conspiracy along, even if we're not fully comfortable with their opponent or would not vote for them otherwise. Kelly helped this conspiracy along, working to overturn the 2020 presidential election. That is not conservative, and it's not American. Kelly is unfit to serve on our highest court. I hope you join me in voting for Janet Protasiewicz on April 4th.
That's amazing.
So again, if you're just joining us, that was an op-ed penned by Ellen Brostrom, Judge Ellen Brostrom, who is not only a Milwaukee County Circuit judge, but she's also the daughter of Justice Pat Rogensack, who is stepping down and retiring from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, whose seat Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly are trying to get that seat. And I read that, and I'm like, whoa.
I know.
But does the average voter read that? Does the average voter care what this quote-unquote maybe random judge has to say? So let us know, 844-967-2789. Does this mean anything to you? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Come November election time, you vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pinkney, not for president. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen. News.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we got 8 days till the election.
Tick, 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 tick.
And then we get to move back to talking about the budget and other. I'm so interested, and I think we're going to try to get CJ on the show, CJ Safer from Institute for Reforming Government, hopefully next week. Because I think what I become most interested in, depending on who wins, but if Janet Protasiewicz does win, how that changes the tactics within the legislature. Because for so long, I mean, and before 2018 and Governor Evers got elected, they had the courts, but they didn't necessarily need the courts because
right.
of Walker.
Right.
But now, you know, they've had the Wisconsin Supreme Court largely be an extension of the Republican Party. And every time there was a conflict with Evers, being able to escalate it, have a lawsuit, have it go to the, like, you know, represented by Will.
Yep.
And have it go to the court and still get their way. And so with that option potentially taken away, how much more compromising
well
does it get?
They might have to start making some concessions.
Yeah.
They might actually have to start, yeah, like you said, compromising. What a terrible, shocking idea. Honestly, and that's one thing that I wish the Proto Sayowitz campaign would push more is about the whole gerrymander and what it would mean to get rid of the gerrymander means that your politicians would actually have to be held accountable to you, the voter.
I know. And I just wonder, like, so many of these campaigns, you know what I've been kind of surprised with? How little external public polling we've seen. Like, both campaigns obviously have internal polls running as far as understanding, like, points up, points are down. But have you seen anything from Marquette Law School poll?
No.
As far as them asking the public? I haven't seen, and I doubt anything's going to drop this week if,
yeah,
and the week ahead. But I would say, on the campaign side, they constantly are testing messaging, and I have to imagine that the abortion messaging is what resonates with so many people. And like, as much as we care about fair maps and we understand like the bigger picture of how this ties into so much stuff, like it's still pretty unsexy.
I understand completely what you're saying, but that's why. Do you want permitless concealed carry in Wisconsin?
Yeah, no, I know.
That's what they should be hitting. That's what they should be putting forward. Does Wisconsin want permitless concealed carry like they have in Texas? And how well that's going in Texas?
Yeah.
That would sexy it up, I guess, a little bit.
Sexy it up.
We do have a text from the 414. And you can always join in, too, at 844-967-2789. Nothing will change my mind. I already voted last week.
Yeah.
But for the last few days, Janet should stay positive and tell the undecided of her qualifications and what an honor it would be to serve as our next justice in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I would agree with that. But I think at this point, is it motivating people whether or not they're going to vote versus the people who know they're voting and already know who they're going to vote for? Because it seems pretty, I can't imagine there's people at this point who are planning to vote and are still looking for evidence of who they're going to vote for.
Yeah, there's, I mean, the two candidates are so starkly different. But then again, you know, you and I have talked about this too. We live in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people who are normal, who don't live in this world and swim in this pond like we do.
Absolutely. You know? And so I don't know. I mean, I think it goes back to having the op-ed that we read in the first segment by Judge Ellen Brostrom, who is the daughter of Justice Pat Rogensack, who is the justice who is stepping down and creating the vacancy that we are going to elect to fill. And a pretty scathing condemnation of Dan Kelly, saying,
yeah,
he is, I think she used the word unfit three times.
Yeah.
And largely, I mean, exclusively tying it to the fact that he was the counsel for the Wisconsin Republican Party that we know because of Andrew Hitt, who was the chairman at the time. And we don't know what was said, but he was consulted, according to Andrew Hitt's testimony, that he was consulted on the fake elector scheme.
Yeah.
And that alone. And I think there's also, like, he has someone now. There's a Virginia native who is campaigning for him. I don't know why he's campaigning in Wisconsin, but he's like, we don't really ask their background before they start.
Oh, yeah, that was last
before
week.
They start campaigning
right,
for
right,
us.
Right.
It's like, yeah. And then,
you want to help? I'll take your help.
Yeah, and that's on top of the pastor who said homicides of abortion providers are justified.
Justifiable homicides.
So real cast of characters supporting Dan Kelly. And not the least of which, did you get a text in the last week from a number, you know, as we're getting these text messages like we did in the fall, but did you get one that said, vote early today for Judge Daniel Kelly? He is the only candidate that will put parental rights ahead of the woke left's unending thirst to trans our children.
Is that a verb?
They're making it a verb.
To what?
To trans our children. Everything on the line. Everything's on the line. Sorry. We must stop them and save our children. Vote for Judge Daniel Kelly by April 4th and save Wisconsin's children. That is a real text message that has been going out to Wisconsin residents, not by the Dan Kelly campaign, but a group that is supporting him. And it's pretty gross. So we're going to talk more about it when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Nadnair. And we are doing a roundup of
nasty
1 week left tactics across the board. And this one is something. And it's in line with banning the rainbow song, which we are going to talk about in the next segment, because I'm very proud of the fact that we were one of the first shows and outlets to talk about Rainbowland being banned from first graders singing it in Waukesha, because now it's everywhere.
It's across the pond.
It's across the pond.
It made the Daily Mail.
So we're talking about that next segment. But in that same vein of this thing that the right has tapped into as far as parental rights and transing your children as a using it as a verb.
As a verb.
And how everything is woke. And these are pretty gross messages. And so we'll start here. I don't know. What is over the line when it comes to election politics? Because on one hand, if we start here and we're going to talk about these homophobic scare tactic texts that a group supporting Kelly has been sending across Wisconsin, and they're bad.
Yeah, they are bad.
They're bad. And then in Green Bay, both candidates for mayor there have received violent threats against their family.
Yes.
One in a letter, one as a text message. And that surfaced, and then we found out that, was it Princeton that did a review of this? I forgot which. There was a study, basically, that says, like, Wisconsin's fourth when it comes to threats against election workers and candidates.
Well done.
Well done.
Yeah, yay us.
Golf clap.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, and I don't know, like, what, I want to say threats of violence is the worst. But it's, like, with the attack ads and the language used, we obviously see it with racism. We see it now with homophobia and, like, tapping into people's fears, saying things that are just outright not true. But then I think those are the things that escalate into people feeling like so much is on the line that I'm going to threaten someone who is running for office. Well, right? Is it one? It's not really, I guess it's maybe not one or the other. It's one that leads to the other.
There is no bottom anymore. There used to be, there is no bottom.
Is the bottom actually executing violence?
For some, I think that would be an achievement.
That's scary.
It is scary. And we've talked about this before. I have never seen so many Americans relishing the idea of harming other Americans.
Because I didn't even, did you follow anything that happened at Waco this weekend?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that.
I
checked out for the weekend, so I did not.
It was nuts.
Was it?
Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, we're talking about the former guy who held a rally in Waco, Texas on the 30th anniversary of that siege. And he came out. He did a song with some of the January 6th people who are in jail still, waiting to go to trial.
Okay.
So he recorded a song with them.
Like an original?
Some patriotic blather. And that was the anthem that they played.
Ted Nugent write it?
Ted Nugent opened.
He did. I said that as a joke.
No. Ted Nugent opened. Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know why I'm laughing so hard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh. That reminds me. I'll switch out the open for the top of the hour. We'll do a little Wang Tang, Sweet Poon Tang, in honor of Ted Nugent. And then he had footage of the January 6th attack playing behind him on a big jumbotron. They're celebrating the violence that happened on the Capitol on January 6th.
So, yeah, so for maybe you're right. For some people, maybe not a majority of people, but for some people, it is potentially an achievement.
Yes.
Well, so to go back, I read this in the last segment, but we will return to, and I don't know, again, does this change anybody's mind? And clearly, I think there's some people who really are so bought into this rhetoric that it's feeding into the frenzy of schools and woke activists that are trying to indoctrinate your children to be gay, because that's how it works. But there is a group supporting Dan Kelly that sent a series of conspiracy-fueled homophobic texts and videos to voters this past week to try to scare... I didn't get this text.
Did I didn't
get this
either. Text? No.
So to try to scare parents and stir up anger. And so there was at least two different texts. And I'm reading this from Up North News. I had seen this kind of circulated on social media as well as people sharing the text that they had received. But it's from a group called American Principles Project, PAC, a leading anti-LGBTQ group largely funded by...
Elines.
Dick Uline.
Yeah. Illinois money. Lots of
he
Illinois
money.
He seems
fun to party with.
Doesn't he, though?
Mm-hmm.
Wife, too.
Real, I wonder what they like to talk about at their dinner parties.
Transing children.
Yeah. And so one that we have I'll read it again. Vote early today for Judge Daniel Kelly. He is the only candidate that will put parental rights ahead of the woke left's unending thirst to trans our children. Everything's on the line. We must stop them and save our children. Vote for Judge Daniel Kelly by April 4th and save Wisconsin's children. So that was the first one. And then the texts are coming with a video that references a case that happened in Wisconsin, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there were Wisconsin whales. I'm just living in Lake Michigan. and so the story, the actual what happened was parents sued the school district over a policy that allowed their daughter to go by male pronouns. But the video that was sent out with these text messages twists the story around and insinuates that the school forcibly transitioned their daughter
what?
Into a boy.
What?
That is, the school is like, you, we're picking you, and now you're going to be a boy.
Uh-huh. Because that's how this works.
And it's so crazy. And so they have another screenshot that you can't, so this one says, we've got to set aside politics and put our children first. A lot of things about children. Wisconsin parents can't afford to gamble with electing Janet Protasiewicz to the Supreme Court. She's endorsed by all the woke activists that are stripping parents of their rights in Wisconsin schools and forcing transgenderism down our throats.
Oh, give me a break. You know who's taking away parental rights over how they can treat their children? Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me that they're all about parents' rights, except when it comes to health care for your child, then the state knows better. Then Republicans know better.
Yeah.
Than you.
So this group, American Principles Project, has spent nearly $800,000 on digital ads boosting Kelly's campaign. And it's interesting because there's not a lot of evidence that this tactic works. Like, as far as it, this being like the transphobia, trans obsession, that of it being like where we can talk about right now, abortion is a winning issue for the left. And we saw that in the fall.
Right.
I think we're potentially going to see it next week here, as far as people feeling like the actual threat of our rights being taken away for half the population is tangible, real, and motivating. But there isn't a lot of evidence that this is, besides a small portion of parents, that this is actually motivating for turnout.
Well, that's
and yet they're still they're sticking to it. Like, and yet, like, despite that, I feel like there's a group that are continuing to stick on this issue, and it's like, why? So that's the one side of things that have been happening. There was also last week, and it'll be interesting to see if this just dies after the election. But it brings up, you know, so Wisconsin right now, which is a right-wing, it's a news outlet. I think they call themselves journalists, but they're also very much
propagandists.
Yeah, and also like very much in the pocket, not the pocket, but like in the corner of getting conservatives elected. And so they ran a story basically saying the only source they had for that story was the son of the now deceased ex-husband of Janet Protasiewicz. And so it's basically her former stepson alleging abuse during her first marriage and the use of the N-word decades ago. And I saw this all over Twitter because they were really pushing this. Yeah. And like Wisconsin Right Now kept adding Journal Sentinel and adding Dan Bice and adding like A-T-I-N-G as in like the at symbol, like trying to get their attention.
Sure.
And like calling out all the different news outlets in Wisconsin for not picking up the story. And basically everyone was like, you have one fairly uncredited, like source for this. And so it's a former stepson who was also a convicted felon multiple times over. And
he has siblings, by the way, who did not corroborate
yes.
this.
And so Journal Sentinel didn't run it. And the only when they finally ran it was basically as Janet Protasiewicz saying she's considering legal action for this accusation. And I don't know. That's basically the reason I didn't want to talk about this on the show is because it wasn't corroborated. It seemed like a ploy by people who were trying to, again, if we think about the WEC, Wisconsin Elections Commission
right.
member who bragged about deflating the black vote in Milwaukee
That's right.
last fall.
That's right.
How can you prove to me that this isn't just a tactic to turn off black voters? And it's a complete lie. And I don't like it. I don't know if it will just this story will die or if there will actually be follow up to like, does this story have any legs? Or was it, again, just a ploy at the 11th hour to try to dissuade some people from voting by claiming that she was a racist?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
That would be that. That would be my guess. Texter from the 414 says, as to there being no bottom for the GOP, I've quoted Jane before saying they have no shame anymore. My theory is this is all tied to a new evangelical crusade. So threats of violence and the means justify the ends. That starts to make sense.
Is there anything in your life that you believe in so fervently that you could justify violence? I'm asking you, Jane.
Well, certainly I want to protect my family and my friends.
Okay, but that's not a belief system. I'm talking about, like, if there's something that you believe, like, and you feel free to answer this. We only have a couple more minutes in this segment, but if you have something that you feel like you could justify violence for, 844-967-2789, and not protection, not like protecting
not
your
like
friends
that.
And family under a threat of their, like, violence against them, but is there anything that you are so aggressively
against
or for that you would be able to justify, like, well, if it takes bombing the math building like they did in the UW campus decades ago for the anti-Vietnam protests.
I
don't know if I have anything.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I really can't. But we're not violent people.
I know. I've never been in a fight. The closest thing I've ever been to in a fight is like elbowing a girl in a basketball court.
Ooh.
And so, and I don't know if that's just the inherent, like, and I don't root for people in the public eye. Like, when I hear Mitch McConnell is sick, like, all right. If you have thoughts on that, 844-967-2789. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we'll, I guess we'll lighten it up. I don't really know if this is lightning, but sure. So we covered last week the Waukesha Elementary School that had said, and is sticking to so far, they have not reversed. They did reverse their decision about Rainbow Connection.
Sung by Kermit the Frog.
Sung by Kermit the Frog. But they had not, they still, as far as, because Milwaukee Journal Sentinel picked it up, and as the different media outlets besides us, that actually tried to get comment from the superintendent and the principal from this elementary school. Basically, it was left as, that song is too controversial. That song being Rainbow Land by like Miley Cyrus. And without an explanation or a definition of why it is too controversial. And hats off to the parents who really wanted to make this thing go viral.
Because they did it.
Because they did it.
Yes.
And it's interesting to watch something that starts, you know, we hear it. We obviously talk about it. We think it's a big deal. But like, what about this story was picked up by these not only national, but international outlets that Waukesha, you made it, babe.
Yeah. Like, well done. You're on the map.
Because this is USA Today. Not only did Journal Sentinel talk about it, but USA Today talked about it. Miley Cyrus, Dolly Parton's song, Rainbow Land, banned from Wisconsin first grade concert. People Magazine. What else did you see it in?
Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
In England. Based in England, it's on today. It's on the website today.
Billboard picked it up. NBC, well, NBC Chicago's not that far away, but like it is all Entertainment Tonight picked it up.
Wow. Well, again,
so a lot of places that wouldn't necessarily care about like political happenings in Wisconsin,
right?
Are, I guess it's because it's Dolly and Miley.
And Miley, sure.
Dolly specifically, who is beloved and cherished, and so there it is. Yeah, Daily Mail. And so it'll be interesting with this much heat if they just, like, what do you do when you get this much outsized attention? Do you change course? As if you're the administration or the superintendent, like, do you hold firm and say, nope, this is our decision, and this will blow over, and media be damned? Or do you, does this pressure amount to being like, well, maybe we misstepped.
But if they do that, that could lead to other things that people are upset with.
Like what?
Book banning. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? If they bend on this, then the inference is, well, this kind of pressure worked. And I don't think they want to do that.
I know. Which, yeah, and so maybe they just write it out because our attention spans are short.
No question about that.
And, you know, it's just, it is what it is. Because, like, this has to be more attention than Waukesha got. I always forget because time is hard. It was last year or 2021 when Waukesha voted to stop free lunches.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't want to spoil children. And that got national attention. But I don't think Entertainment Tonight was talking about it.
Well, because Miley and Dolly weren't involved.
No, of course. And I haven't yet to see. I mean, that'll probably be the peak, is if either of those two superstars comment on it. And I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Miley ended up doing it, because she's a pretty
outspoken,
staunch supporter of LGBTQ people. I think her nonprofit or her foundation helps children who have left home and who are experiencing homelessness and transient youth.
Sure.
And so I think she's pretty passionate about it. So it'd be interesting to see if this eventually bubbles up to get any attention from them.
But don't you see, I wonder if her activism in that arena isn't part of the reasoning for this, for that banning the song.
I mean, this is also, it's probably part of that. It's also part of anyone who remembers Miley circa 10 years ago, when Wrecking Ball came out.
Oh, yeah.
When she was going through her,
I'm going to be naked for everyone.
I'm twerking. I'm naked. I'm wild child. I think she naturally is a very free-spirited wild child person. But she is, that's part of growing up in Hollywood, right? Is that she in these stages where she was like, I'm going to break free and do whatever I want.
No more Disney.
Everyone's there to watch it. And I don't know if it's that, because that was a long time ago now, or more of her outspokenness now. Because I think, if you read the lyrics,
there's nothing bad with those lyrics.
I feel like the most insinuating lyrics in there, it's like hand in hand. So it's like this is the chorus. Living in a rainbow land where you and I go hand in hand. Oh, I'd be lying if I said this was fine. All the hurt and the hate going on here. We are rainbows, me and you, every color, every hue. Let's shine on through. Together we can start living in a rainbow land.
But isn't there something about inclusion? There's a reference to, or equality or something like that. Yeah, we can't possibly promote things like that.
Well, and it's also, I'll maybe bring this clip in. There's a guy on TikTok, and I'm sure he posts everywhere, who's kind of one of those gotcha guys. He's like the Jordan, he's like a Jordan Klepper type that feels like gotcha guys that mm-hmm. goes to different conservative rallies and stuff. And he was talking to a parent about the new thing that they're scared, they're worried about at school. And it was social emotional learning.
Excuse me.
Or something like that. And she starts explaining how that is the gateway to CRT and a queer theory, is by teaching children about their feelings and having them talk about their feelings. And she gives an example of how the teachers are as a bad thing. She gives an example of how this works in school, is how can we show empathy in this situation? And I was like, are we? And she's like, and so we're expecting teachers to teach our kids about their feelings instead of parents paying for them to go to therapy. I was
What?
And so you're saying the better option is for parents to be responsible for sending their kids to therapy instead of teachers teaching kids about empathy? This is what we're advocating for now? Oh, man. All right. Well, when we come back, speaking of therapy,
yeah,
we're actually going to be talking to Tammy Muckloff, who is the manager of the Craig Yabuki Mental Health Walk-In Clinic. It's been a year since they opened, so we're going to talk about some of their success so far. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.